not sure whether to try to give you what I prepared or try just a short meditation, excuse me, picking up on some of the things that I heard from what Marianne said. So as I decide, I think it's also appropriate that that we pray for the team and for the work and for Adamson and blah blah, and I'm sure there's quite a list that we could make to get all the details. So what I'll do is I'll let's enter into prayer together, and I'll leave the floor open for a bit if anybody would like to pray for the people in Malawi, pray for the team. And after some time has passed, and I will try to guess to see if no one else is wanting to stand up and pray out loud, then I'll close that time in prayer, and then we'll look at some scripture after that. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, and we are reminded that we need to be so grateful for the wonderful gifts that you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity to be partners in your work in Malawi as a part of this church. We thank you especially for those whom you've provided to go there and to serve, for Marianne and Charlene and the rest of the team that's still abroad. We pray that you would continue to bless their work, that you would continue to bless their hearts and continue to provide their hearts with compassion and love and help them to see these people with the eyes that you see them with. Father, we hear of the need, and it's hard to even picture what it is, but we pray that you would guide us in how you want us to be a part of your work there. Help us to have soft hearts and open hearts. Help us to be obedient to your calling on us and to serve you and love you. Give us wisdom in how we use the resources you've blessed us with, and help us to hold those resources that you've given us with loose hands, that we might be willing to give them freely to where you want us to give them. I pray this all in your Son's name. In Jesus' name, amen. It is hard to understand that, isn't it? It's hard to hear of people living in what you said, a 4-foot by 6-foot house. I don't even know how you would fit 4 people in that house, never mind sleeping in 1/2 of that. It's hard to imagine people who don't have a change of clothes. It's hard to imagine people who don't have more than 1 pot to cook with. In some ways, I think that it gets to be so difficult because we can't even imagine it. Sometimes we hear of people who are so wealthy that we just can't understand what that means. Amy and I went on a boat in Florida and we saw Judge Judy's yacht. And Judge Judy's yacht was something, and I'm not trying to condemn her for having this yacht, but we just couldn't understand how somebody could even afford such a thing, because it was massive. It was probably the size of this building here. So the fuel to keep it running, the staff, and this isn't where she lives. This is just something that she uses sometimes as a toy and as a vacation. And just for us and where we are financially to try to look up at that and say, wow, that's something we just can't wrap our minds around. It's just too big for us. We have all these demonstrations happening around the world talking about the 99%, right? We are the 99%. The 1% has this tremendous wealth and they need to share it more. All these protests about this. And yet what we don't realize is if we have 3 meals a day, a change of clothes, and a roof over our head, we are in the top 10% worldwide. 3 meals a day, a change of clothes, clean change of clothes, and a roof over your head when you go to bed at night. Top 10% in the world. And yet, we feel so moved to be pressuring this other 1% to be sharing, and yet we don't realize the wealth that we have. One of my guilty pleasures is I enjoy movies. And I did go and see the latest Batman movie. And the bad guy, has a scene where he's victorious over Batman in the middle of the movie. And I'm not going to give away important plot details here, but one of his lines that he gives to Batman's character is saying, "Victory has defeated you." What he means is this, is that you've done so well that you've become soft now, and I can beat you. Because you haven't had to keep fighting and keep getting stronger and keep rising and getting built up. And sometimes our faith can be like that. And Marianne, what I was listening and hearing, you talked about a beauty in the people that you saw there of following God. And I think what it is that some of the richest things God does in our lives is when our lives are the hardest. And when our lives are easy, sometimes, and this is not to say we should feel bad that God has blessed us, but when our lives are easy, it's very easy to become apathetic, very easy to become lukewarm. And so I thought of 2 scriptures. This is not pre-prepared or organized, so I apologize if it's not, doesn't flow well, or if I'm reading things that don't quite catch where I'm trying to get to, but I thought of 2 places in God's Word that speak of what you were already speaking of. And the first is in James chapter 2, starting at verse 14. This is a passage that I look to quite a lot. And this is also actually quite a controversial passage in the Bible. This passage is the reason why Martin Luther was contemplating whether James should be in the Bible at all. And if we read it out of context, and actually we're going to read it out of context, the danger is that we can get the wrong message with it. So we'll need to try to put the context in our own minds to understand what James is trying to get at. And he says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister is poorly clothed or lacking in daily food, and one of you says, 'Go in peace, be warmed, be filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? For also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." And I think what Marianne saw was a very alive faith, and the reason that the faith was very alive over there, the reason that they followed God, is because they had no choice but to cling to God, but to act out on that faith that God would provide for their needs. Now, when I say that God would provide for their needs, it doesn't always necessarily mean physical needs either, and those needs are important, and we pray that God would provide those for those people, but the strength to go through the trials, the strength and the weakness. Paul says, God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. And there's something about that adversity and that hardship that draws out what God wants in us, that makes that faith strong and mature and helps us to actually follow God, if our hearts are to follow God. And so this is not to say that, well, you have to have works to be saved. What James is trying to say, and if you read further down, you could possibly get that idea if you read it incorrectly. But what James is saying is this, is that your work is like a symptom of something, right? It's a symptom of your faith. Marianne talked about a symptom of chronic lice in the hair, patchiness, and seeing the lice in the different colors. These are symptoms of having lice. If you put your faith in God and you truly, truly, truly in obedience follow God, those works that you do in obedience are a symptom of that faith that you have. And that becomes evident to the world. That becomes evident to the world. And the other passage I thought of that worked along with that is Revelation chapter 3, starting at verse 14 as well. Two verse 14s. Some nice parallel there. And this is a very famous passage as well, and can be a very uncomfortable passage. Many pastors like to read this passage and to talk about our society. And I haven't completed the thoughts in my mind, but hopefully by the time we've read it, I'll have something to say about some of the middle part here. "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would you be either cold or hot? So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, 'I am rich, I've prospered, I need nothing,' not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by the fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And again, I think of what Marianne was saying, because she saw physical poverty but spiritual wealth. She saw spiritual wealth at physical poverty. Over here, I think we can often fairly say that we often see physical wealth, but spiritual poverty. But at the end of the day, the gold that we want to own, is it gold that will be somewhere on this earth and, you know, maybe last beyond our lifetimes, maybe go to some generations behind us, but be gone? Some clothes that will last for maybe 10 years if we're lucky they last? Or do we want clothes in heaven where moth does not eat and rust does not destroy? And again, I don't stand in front of you trying to condemn you for the blessings that God has given you, but I think the lesson that I heard from Marianne, and I believe the scripture affirms as well, is that these blessings that God has given us, we need to act in faith on them and obey God's calling on them. And I can't tell you exactly what that is for you. Some people feel that calling is, you know, to sell everything they have and to go on the mission field. And if that is, you know, that's something I would not discourage you from. My friend, he will go back to the mission field sometime in the next year, whom you heard speak, with his life on the line. He may not get to go back to the same place, but even still where he's going, his life will be on the line. And that's something that he's chosen. That's a gift that God has given him that he's chosen to give back to God and say, God, do with my years as you want to do. And I think there's a spiritual wealth that comes from following and obeying what God has called you to. Now, that calling is different for everyone in this room. And as I said, I don't want to tell you it has to be this way or that way. But I think what we need to do is to ask God how we can continue to honor him and obey him and walk in faith with the things that he has given us. Because our resources are not our own. Can you collect the air for your next breath and hold on to it, just saying, oh, just in case I need to breathe, you know, I've got this air. Even if you amass a small fortune, any one of us at any time could have an aneurysm and drop dead. We can't hold on to the things of this world, right? Solomon talks about that in Ecclesiastes. The only thing we can hold on to is spiritual riches. And so those things that God has given us, how do we give them back to God? How do we honor him? How can we cultivate spiritual wealth in our lives so that somebody could from another country come and see this church and say, they're a beautiful people. They really follow God. They really honor Jesus Christ. I think I want to end there. What I'll have you do right now is actually to turn to somebody near to you and to spend some time and pray for one another. And how you're going to pray for one another is this. You're going to pray for the other person, asking God to guide them in how to be obedient with the gifts that God has given them. If you choose to pray for other things, that's fine too. But what I'd encourage you to do is pray for, find the one or two people beside you and pray, saying, how can we be obedient with what God has given us? Once a few minutes have passed, then we'll ask. Oh, that's what we would have talked about. Once a few minutes have passed, we'll ask the musicians to come and play the song. So that will be our cue that the time of prayer is done, and I'll come up for a benediction after that.
The guidelines. So to pray, to ask God to help you to honor him with the good things that he's given you, basically.